There's good news and bad news. The bad news is we're not going to get to it all right here, right now. But the good news is I got the time. Wednesday, Friday, 4 Sundays or Saturdays a year. I got the time and I ain't going anywhere. Journey, any of my personal choices or decisions related to my life made you feel disappointed or let down, let me just say, I understand. If you all try to understand that I was never going to get healthy physically, mentally, spiritually, or emotionally, staying in the same place that got me sick in the first place.
You know, I legitimately tried to edit that down into what was the most relevant things from the punk promo, from the punk return. I tried to edit it down to make it as short, as concise as possible. I just wanted a short intro to open the show. But that's what we ended up with, over 6.5 minutes, because it was that significant what happened. The most significant moment of the year, the most significant moment of this decade, which is only a year and a half old, or a year and 8 months old, but also probably the most significant moment in the last 10 or even 15 years. I was trying to think back to something that was bigger. We look at the Roman Reigns heel turn, but it occurred in the Thunderdome, and the Roman Reigns heel turn has been fantastic. The whole run has been great. It has been the thing that has made SmackDown totally watchable and the number one show in wrestling, which highlights all the flaws of Raw even more, because SmackDown is so easy to digest on a week-to-week basis, and it's being carried on the shoulders of Roman Reigns. But Roman Reigns' heel turn was not as big as what we saw last night. Dating back, there's a few moments that stick out. You're looking at the return of Roman Reigns from cancer. You're looking at the heel turn of Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch getting her face busted up by Nia Jax, winning the title, the two titles at WrestleMania. This Kofi Mania. There's the first return of Bill Goldberg, which was massive. There's the recent return of John Cena. There's the return of Edge at the Royal Rumble. I'm trying and trying and trying and trying to categorize these events, and I'm trying to put them in order. And nothing compares. In fact, you have to go way back to the end of the streak. You have to go way back to the same night where Daniel Bryan won the title. And even those, you would argue, were not as big as what you saw last night. Even if you go back 10 years to the moment where CM Punk won the title at the Money in a Bank pay-per-view, we would only put that as equal to this moment. But even that didn't have the anticipation of the 7 years, the absence of CM Punk. So why is it so big? People are debating that CM Punk isn't going to move the needle. Some people have said to me that it's hyperbole and it's been blown out of proportion. Vince Russo has said to me this week that it's not going to be all that. And Disco Inferno called me and said, I can't believe how crazy people are going. And I explained to him, and I'll explain this on multiple shows, because I'll be doing multiple shows this week. I'll be on with Russo. I'll be on with Disco and Conan. I've made myself available to do other podcasts of a lesser name value, just because I want to talk about this. And I've done so many shows in the last 5-6 years where I haven't wanted to talk, where it's been a chore, where I've just been keeping up with my obligation. And it's been an obligation to come on and talk and to keep this fucking podcast going. An obligation to keep it going, so we wouldn't give people the satisfaction of knowing that we've gone. And it wouldn't be because we went because we were defeated by any of these nerds or losers that have antagonized us for the last 5 or 6 years. It would have been gone because this product is shit. And it's been sucking the life out of me to sit there and watch 3-hour Raws on a weekly basis and have to force myself to talk about them on show after show. But it's all worth it when you get a moment like this when pro wrestling is done correctly. And why was this done correctly? And why is this a moment I shouldn't even have to explain? But to me, it's very simple. CM Punk was a guy who wanted to leave the WWE 10 years ago. In one promo, he highlighted all of the issues that resonated with all of the fans at the time in the Pipe Bomb promo. I believe he would have carried on saying a little bit more, but genuinely, I think his mic was cut off. I do think all of that was a shoot. The CM Punk was given license to say what he wanted to say, and it gave us the Summer of Punk. It was quickly wiped out, not necessarily wiped out, but it was dampened by the fact that we very quickly saw Punk lose that title to Del Rio. We saw him getting to a program with Kevin Nash. Kevin Nash couldn't even wrestle. He was injured immediately and couldn't do the match with Punk. It was a mess. The Summer of Punk that was so good, where he was going back and forth with Vince McMahon and having the feud with John Cena, and obviously the whole thing with Money in the Bank and everything, it was dampened. It was dampened typically by WWE because they don't know how to do anything. But then by the Survivor Series, they ended up getting it right, and we did see the belt go on CM Punk. We did see a title reign. But we didn't see CM Punk in the main event of WrestleMania 28. Nothing changed. The only thing that changed was the merchandise sales, where CM Punk became the first person in 6 years to remove John Cena from the number one spot. That was the only thing that changed. But nothing changed in the mentality of this company that he cannot be the number one guy. He doesn't look like the number one guy. We don't want him to be the number one guy. We won't make him the number one guy. We will still go with Rock and Cena. In fact, we will go with Rock and Cena for 2 years, even though this guy continued to hold the belt and made himself even stronger and stronger as a heel. His heel turn occurred on The Rock and set up a match with The Rock at the Royal Rumble. Instead of putting CM Punk over in some way, obviously, that would have been very difficult to get The Rock to agree to it. I'm not like these marks that just sit out there and said, oh, the title should have been in the streak versus title, Undertaker and Punk. Yeah, it should have been. But how do you do that when you've already set up CM Punk versus The Rock and The Rock's coming in to go over and to beat John Cena? Do you cancel Cena versus Rock? Do you say, hey, Rock, can you lose 2 matches? Can you lose to CM Punk and lose to John Cena? Thank you very much. Go back to Hollywood having been beaten by this guy and this guy. No, it's very difficult to do in reality when you've already set that up. perhaps a triple threat would have been the way to go and not do that match with The Undertaker. CM Punk was pissed off about that, and rightfully so, because he had the best title reign of the modern era for 434 days. But still, during that time, he continued to be different to what we were seeing from the PG era. He was a guy that was able to work and cut promos within the PG era. Even sometimes he was allowed to go over the mark of the PG era, mocking the heart attack of Jerry Lawler, mocking the death of Paul Bearer. I think these are great moments. I think this is what pro wrestling about is all about. I think this is what differentiates pro wrestling from anything else, is that you can do that, is that you can create genuine bad guys and genuine heat and create genuine stories where you want the good guy to overcome the asshole that is the heel. The heel that does these things and gets himself into that situation where you just desperately want the good guy to win. That is what wrestling is all about. That's why you need a hero and an antagonist. And he was the best antagonist of all time. And you can argue for other people. You can argue for Jake the Snake Roberts. You can look at Bret Hart's heel turn when it was Canada versus the USA. You can talk about Randy Orton. You can talk about Roman now. There's loads of guys. Everybody's going to have their guy. Shawn Michaels in 97. Amazing. But for me, it was CM Punk as the WWE champion. That ended with The Rock. He took a break after losing to The Undertaker in a match where he had a great match with The Undertaker, which at times looked like he was going to win the streak, take the streak, and it was more genuinely believable than anybody Undertaker had faced in the 4 years before that. A lot of people hold the matches with Triple H and Shawn Michaels in much higher regard. I would argue that, yes, perhaps one of those matches, the first Shawn match, is at a higher level than the Punk match, but I would argue against the other three, simply because there was no believability that Triple H would end the streak. There was no believability that Shawn Michaels would end the streak. These are guys in their 40s, but CM Punk, he's supposed to be with the WWE for 5 to 10 more years. CM Punk is only in his 30s. CM Punk just had a 434 title reign that you took away from him to do a Rock versus Cena rematch, which was supposed to be once in a lifetime. You owe him the streak. If anybody's going to get the streak, it's going to be this guy. So when he banged Undertaker over the head with the urn, there was genuine belief that that could be a three count, and that is what elevated that match to an even higher level. But after that, he went away. He came back as a babyface. And this is where all of the problems really started over a six-month period where Punk started to butt heads with the company. Punk was continuously losing matches on TV and pay-per-views, putting over members of The Shield, putting over Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, failing to win the Money in a Bank briefcase, wasn't in line to win the Royal Rumble, was programmed in with Triple H at WrestleMania while they rehired Batista. And at the time, Batista was supposed to come straight in and win the Royal Rumble and face Randy Orton at WrestleMania. That was it for CM Punk. He was done with these part-timers coming in and taking his spot. The part-timers that nobody wanted to see. He was done with a situation where Vince McMahon turned around and said, I'll have anybody on top. I will try anybody that looks a certain way or that I believe is the right look and fit for the company. I will ignore the people when they want CM Punk, and I will ignore the people when they want Daniel Bryan, and I will force what I want down your throats, be it Cena, be it Batista, be it constantly pushing Roman Reigns, which he did for years after that. And that actually proved CM Punk right, because when CM Punk walked out, and it was because of the bullshit, CM Punk didn't walk out as a 40-year-old or a 50-year-old who'd had his career. And this comeback isn't like Goldberg coming back or a Hogan comeback or anything like that. This is a guy that walked out at his peak. This is a guy that could have done another 5 or 10 years in the main event scene on $3 or $4 million contracts. This guy has walked out on over $30 million based on his principles that he doesn't want to work for a Vince McMahon because of the bullshit that goes on, because of the ideologies of the WWE. And everything he said that pissed us off back then has been multiplied by 10 right now, because WWE isn't a wrestling company. WWE isn't entertaining. WWE is a business. They are dictated to by their shareholders. They are dictated to by their share price. They are dictated to by their quarterlies. And that's not what CM Punk was about. And that's not what CM Punk wanted to be involved in. CM Punk didn't want to be a part of the WWE and the current WWE that we see. And the thing is that the legacy of CM Punk has grown whilst he sat on his ass. While he has sat on his ass, and this product has got worse and worse, as predicted by CM Punk, all of the flaws that he highlighted have been accentuated over the last decade. The fact that he was the one that highlighted that, and the fact that he believed in his principles so much that he actually walked out because he didn't want to work there, despite the fact he could have coasted his way to $20 to $25 million just being lazy and just biting his tongue. The fact he didn't do that, his legacy has grown because he's right. And through that, he has become the face of everybody's frustrations. He has almost become the solution. Do I believe CM Punk is the real solution to bad wrestling? No, he cannot single-handedly appear in every single segment. He's not going to fix everything I don't like at AEW, because as soon as CM Punk was done last night, the show went to shit and there was like 30 minutes of content that I wasn't interested in watching. I really felt that AEW dropped the ball last night because they didn't put on compelling content immediately after CM Punk was gone. Because this was an opportunity to put on a whole bunch of stuff that would have grabbed the wrestling audience and said, yeah, I tuned in for CM Punk, but I like AEW. I'm going to stick around for the rest of it. They didn't do that. And by the looks of things, they're not going to do that on Wednesday either. But what they might do for a temporary period is have people tuning in to see CM Punk. What they might do is up their ratings through the DVR numbers that they do, through people recording the show and fast forwarding or rewinding to see the parts involving CM Punk. Because CM Punk is a draw and CM Punk's name has grown. I don't care about the UFC losses, and I don't think the fan base that this is going to attract do either. Because there is a fan base, 100%, that left this company, that left this industry, and will never ever return. They will never return. And that was the group of people that left after the Attitude Era. The casual fans that come in and love the Attitude Era. If you left after the Attitude Era, you weren't coming back. There were some people that saw it through the Ruthless Aggression Era, and they left this product when it became PG. But there's also a group of people that rode out the Attitude Era, even rode out the era before the Attitude Era, which was pretty bad. I'm talking about 93 to 97. So these guys sat through 93 to 97. They sat through the Attitude Era. They stuck around for the Ruthless Aggression Era. And then the company went PG. Now, as it wasn't publicly announced, hey, we're going PG, it took a little bit of time to start losing these fans. It took a little bit of time for people to realize that this product ain't for us. And it took longer to realize because CM Punk was there to show you that it isn't going to just be a kiddie show. It isn't just going to be a case of shoving John Cena down your throat and things like that. It was CM Punk that helped you maintain an adult audience. But once he went, that's when we really started to lose people. The constant shoving down your throats of Roman. And every year you can see a graph, a direct line on a year-to-year basis in terms of the ratings, for example, after WrestleMania. The Raw after WrestleMania has gone down on a consistent basis, year by year, steadily, consistently. And that is WWE slowly losing fans that gave up on the product. Now, these are not the fans that gave up immediately as soon as it went PG. These are not the fans that gave up as soon as Rock and Austin left. These are wrestling fans that gave up when the product became completely unbearable. They couldn't sit through any more three-hour Raws. They couldn't sit through any more matches that went through two ad breaks and didn't mean anything. And especially the biggest drop of fans came at the pandemic, watching the show in the performance center, moving away from wrestling and finding something else to watch and getting involved in other programs, and then not coming back to it because you realize, hey, I can live without this shit because this shit doesn't really change. I'll catch it on YouTube. Because hell, WWE love to fucking promote their YouTube numbers and the number of people that follow them on social media, 11.6 billion apparently. But the fact is that they fail to realize these people are now consuming your content in a very microscopic way because they don't want to sit through the entire show because it's just not very good. And that fan base has deserted WWE. Not because they grew out of it, like people from the Attitude Era. Not because it suddenly turned PG. But because this product has got more and more poor on a year-to-year basis. And these fans are willing to come back. This small microcosm of fans, I'm not talking about getting back to the 7 or 8 million people that watched wrestling during the Attitude Era. Hell, I'm not even talking about the people during the Ruthless Aggression Era. I'm talking about the people that may have given the PG era a chance. I'm talking about the people that left in this 5-year period between 2015 and 2020, because that's still a lot of people and they are willing to come back. I've seen a load of people say, I may watch wrestling again. I've seen people in our group chat saying, we may check this out again. Nick, who used to be on the Dirty Sheets, he stopped watching wrestling in 2017. And he consumes content via YouTube or when he hears something relevant has happened. Or if he's flicking through the channels, he'll check it. Raw is still recorded on his DVR. I'm certain that if he's watched it for that many years, he won't admit it to me, but I'm sure he fast forwards through the show and has a general idea of what's going on. But that's like a lot of fans. I believe a lot of fans via YouTube and other forms of social media have a general idea about what's going on and are waiting for something to check in on again. This is it. This is what they may check on again. And that is why this is so significant, because he was the guy. He was the guy who kept people there. He was the alternative to PG. So there's so many reasons that you would be tuning in to watch CM Punk. There's so many reasons why this is big. And as I said, I'll reiterate, the main reason is nobody fucking walks out at their peak. Everybody walks out when they're old or when they're injured and then they decide to make a comeback. Everybody's had their full career. No one walks out on full money at the time. Nobody. It's just unheard of. But that's what this guy does. Maybe I'm overselling it on the fact that he's got great principles, because obviously when he re-signed, when he was unhappy in 2011 and he re-signed, that was for big money. And the fact is that once CM Punk had enough money to live for the rest of his life, I believe he has a net worth of around about $9 million and isn't somebody who's overly wasteful with his money. I think that would be enough for him to survive on. The money that he had beforehand, which was probably around about, you know, $1 or $2 million for the entire time between 2005 and 2011, I don't think that would have been enough for CM Punk to live the rest of his life. $9 million is. So once he had enough money to be secure, then he decided on his principles, he decided to put his principles into play and say, I've got $9 million, I don't need $25 million. And also, I'm not disregarding the fact that his AEW deal is probably massive, despite the fact he's going out there and cutting a promo and saying, I've come back for you, I've come back to work with the guys. He's also come back for the, you know, the $10 or $15 million that he's going to make over the next 3 or maybe 4 years. I don't know the length of his contract. I will try and find out. I do know that it eclipsed $3 million a year because that's what Edge is getting at WWE. And I know that CM Punk is being paid more than that. That's the only information I have at this time. But make no mistake about it, he's getting mega money and he wouldn't have come back not for mega money. But the fact is, you don't care. And the fact is that you believe every word that he said on TV, because when he did come back and you got that initial pop, and I've explained every reason why that was big, he then knocked it out of the park with his fucking promo. Because this guy can come back after 7 years and not forget how to do a promo, where there's guys who can be on TV for 7 years and they still can't cut a promo on a week-to-week basis. And there's plenty of guys in the WWE that I can point the finger at and say, you can't cut a promo, even though you come to work every single week. That was the main difference here that I could highlight from what we saw from CM Punk last night, was the fact that even after all this time, he still comes in and cuts the best promo of 2021. And that includes Roman Reigns, who I love everything that he's doing. So that is all the reasons this was big. You don't need to feel embarrassed about being emotional about it. This struck a chord, I think, with everybody that watched during that time. This meant something to people. People that try and play it down, they're morons. I've come to realize there is a certain group of fans that will try and bury every single thing that happens, or will try and make comparisons. And I saw that shit. Oh, you know, everything Roman's doing is better. CM Punk's not going to move the needle. Edge got a bigger pop. Like, I have seen all this bullshit. It's all not true, and I don't understand why you just can't appreciate the massive moment, because it's not like we've been blessed with many of them over the last 5-10 years. So I appreciate it for what it is. It is fucking big. It is fucking emotional. It is fucking great. It is going to get people to watch AEW. I'm going to be watching AEW. My son's going to be watching AEW. Cab's going to be watching AEW. I don't know anybody that isn't going to be watching AEW. People that were checking in on AEW are now going to watch it religiously. People that never watched AEW started watching AEW last night. The fact that I can name over 10 people that can do that and I'm just one person proves the point. And that may not reflect immediately on the numbers, because obviously it's not going to be the fact that they immediately consumed AEW Dynamite last night, because not everybody knew that this was going to happen, or not everybody knew that it was going to be such a unbelievable reception. But the fact is that I do believe that the Dynamite rating is going to be big. I believe it will be the biggest rating that Dynamite have done, and I believe it will be competitive with the Raw rating. It wouldn't surprise me if there is under 0.4 between the two ratings. So I would predict a 1.4 for Dynamite and around about a 1.7 for Raw. That's what I'm looking at this week. So I don't want to... I want to talk about this here. I wanted to do it with Cab, but he wasn't available. But I felt like we needed to say something because this is what the Dirty Sheets was all about. This is what me going on a steel cage was about. Because I wanted to talk about wrestling. And somehow it reached the point where I started this podcast, and more often than not, I didn't want to talk about wrestling. From around about 2016, 2017, I didn't want to talk about it as much. And that was unfortunate. Had I known that would be the case when I started, I don't think I would have got into this. I think I would have concentrated on my sports gambling. But it's now worth it today. So the fact I want to talk about it would be wrong not to talk about it, even though I've got nobody to talk about it with. But throughout the week, I'm going to be everywhere. Check out my Twitter at SGP Soccer to see where I'm going to be talking about this CM Punk situation. Obviously, I'm going to talk about it with Vince Russo. I got a call from Disco Inferno this morning. I'm going to be going on Conan's show, Keep It 100 this week. So you'll hear plenty from me talking about CM Punk, but you guys got my opinions first here on the Dirty Sheets podcast right here. So that's it for me. I hope you guys enjoyed the return of CM Punk like I did. Thanks for listening.